Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Is mental health care in Iowa in crisis? If so, what can be done about it? Let's go in depth with Kevin Kincaid, CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. Well, Kevin, I've been hearing that mental health in Iowa is in crisis. Do you agree? Is that something you see?
Oh, absolutely. And those of us that work in healthcare have known this for quite a while, that this is seriously a crisis that we are facing as we try to figure out better ways to take care of those folks that have mental health issues. And what we see is things getting worse, not better. The healthcare community, the Iowa Hospital Association, are really trying to get behind some solutions. I think we've talked about this before, that mental health is one of those topics that's real easy to sit around and complain about and point at all the deficiencies. But when it comes to solutions and answers, it's very difficult because most of those solutions require resources. And then it gets into, where do those resources come from? So that's why this topic is extremely difficult. But we're really going to try to take a position and at any turn that we can, any chance that we have, really begin to advocate for some substantial changes in how we handle mental health.
Well, now, my knowledge of it is very superficial and tends to focus on conversations about the lack of beds in Iowa, but I bet it's a lot bigger than just lack of beds.
Yeah, it really is. But fundamentally, the beds and the availability of beds continues to be a cornerstone of the problem. I was just looking at some stuff, and it was kind of interesting. I was looking at what was the max number of mental health patients that we had institutionalized. And kind of historically, the state had state-run mental health institutions in all four corners of the state, and it was kind of considered the four corners of mental health. And so what we used to think about in mental health, if you think about the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and in the institutionalization of mental health, that was how we used to handle it. And in Iowa, in the 1940s, we peaked at 6,000 people in the institutions in Iowa. And when we moved away from the whole concept of an institution, there was a whole host of reasons why that was a great thing. There was really bad things happening. You know, there's all kinds of information about the brutality of what was happening inside of these institutions. But there was a place to put people that were a danger to others. Now, I think bad things were happening at just far too big a scale during those years. And it was a good thing that we got rid of that whole idea of institutionalizing people. But we never replaced that. So in a lot of ways, what we've done is, just out of compassion and the right thing to do, we begin to get away from this institutionalized idea, and we, for the most part, put them on the street. Now we have, you know, our jails. I just seen a thing where over 30% of our incarcerated Iowans are suffering from serious mental health issues. And I'm sure that number is probably fairly conservative from what we've experienced. And, you know, you begin to think about the homeless situation that we have and homeless veterans and all the things that are going on. I don't know that we've moved the ball a long ways, but certainly the old model had a way, had a method for protecting society at large to take dangerous people, and we had a place to put them. And now what that's become is our penal system. We have people in our jails and prisons that need mental health, but what we've done is basically put them in our prison system.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about mental health with Kevin Kincaid, CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. Now, if I'm remembering right, well, it was like the floodgates opened in the 80s, and under the Reagan administration, there became less funding for this, right? Mm-hmm. And we started deinstitutionalizing people. And as you described, the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, maybe some of the younger people don't know that, but it was just sort of bunk beds in a big building and all kinds of guys or gals together in one space, not really interacting with society, or maybe not even getting the kind of treatment that they need, and then we just let them go.
Yeah, we just let them go. And so, you know, when we start thinking about, we counted on the community healthcare system to handle that. Well, it's not equipped to handle that. It's not funded to handle that. And so what we've done is we just continue to, and this term gets used all the time in politics, we continue to just kick the can down the road. So in the state of Iowa, when I talk about the number of beds, so beds is a big hot topic right now. But in the state of Iowa, right now, we currently have 64 beds, state-funded mental health psych beds. And that is per capita dead last in the nation.
Well, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. That's two beds per 100,000 residents, I believe. And so if you take our neighboring states, Kansas, Missouri, South Dakota, they have about 15 beds per 100,000 residents that are state-funded beds. And we have two. So the national average is right around 12. So those are our state-funded beds. So the idea would be is, as we downsize the amount of state beds, that then the private sector would pick this up. And clearly, that's not happening. So when we take total psych beds in the state of Iowa, private, public, we have around 731 beds put together. So when you add all of those together, our policy experts, our mental health experts will tell us that you need about 40 to 60 psych beds per 100,000 residents. That's some of the research that I've seen. And we have around 24. Okay. So that's just not enough intensive psych beds. So where are these people at? Well, they're walking our streets and they're in our jails. That's where they're at, because there's not enough beds to house them. So again, we have made some efforts, the healthcare community and county leaders, state leaders have really tried at least to begin to make this more of kind of the public conversation and continue to make awareness about it. But I think just about everybody I know has a family member, a friend, somehow connected to a mental health issue, and they've personally seen what a debacle it is. It's fragmented, it doesn't work, people aren't getting better, and we need to do something about it. Anytime that I've had a chance to talk about mental health, I'll feel like we are beginning to really get there. When I think about someone that comes into our medical center and they come in, they present to us with severe chest pain and we diagnose that they're actively having a heart attack, immediately the best that healthcare has to offer, the best physicians, the best systems, just the best infrastructure goes into motion, and those people are immediately taken care of. And when we can say that, when somebody presents to us with a serious mental health issue, that same level of intensity and the very best that we can do be brought to bear, then I'd say we've seriously made some progress. Until then, what we've done is just shuffled these folks off to the corner, treated them differently. In any hospital across the state of Iowa, community hospital, we get somebody that routinely comes into our emergency room with a mental health issue, we'll be told there's no available beds, keep them in your facility and just do the best you can. Could you imagine if that was the answer if you were having chest pain and a heart attack? That would be unacceptable, absolutely unacceptable. Yet that happens every day in our ERs. We're housing people in places that are not equipped to take care of them. It's not safe for staff. It's not safe for the patients. They're not getting better. And then what we end up doing is overloading the limited number of mental health beds, because we're all sitting around across the state. I probably have at least four or five patients in our own network of hospitals that right now have people in their ERs that they're trying to place beds for. So what ends up happening is the inpatient beds become just basically a holding center until we get them, until they get them at least stabilized, and then they're back out on the street. So it's a system that doesn't work. It's extremely complicated, much easier to complain about than offer up solutions. But we do have a couple things that we'd really like to entertain and try to see if we can keep pushing them forward.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about mental health with Kevin Kincaid, CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. Well, let's back up a little bit. Are you thinking about more kinds of like group home kinds of things rather than the big institutional ones and embedding people in the community? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, here's a couple of things that, and again, this is just some of my observations, and I think it matches with a lot of the associations of what they're advocating for, is that people that have less severe or it's more easily maintained mental health concerns, that can be handled in the outpatient setting. And we have a fairly good system in place for that. We have a lot of high-quality counselors that varying backgrounds that have the ability to see people and take care of them. And what we find is that that system of care works pretty well if I can deal with your issues Monday to Friday, 8 to 4:30. And you're kind of already plugged into the healthcare system. So the most vulnerable in our society are not tapping into that near at the level that we do. So certainly there are more things that we can do. But when we have somebody that comes into an emergency room with a complete mental health breakdown at 2 o'clock in the morning, hardly ever is that when we talk to the family members and the people that are the closest to this patient, nobody goes, well, I didn't see that coming. You know, it was a buildup that was leading to that event. So what we are really thinking that we need, we have the outpatient care, and then we need places that can take care of people subacutely. Like, so they would come into an emergency room, and we've determined that they're not a danger to themselves, they're not a danger to others, but they have some serious issues going on. Those folks don't really need to be taking up a bed in a locked facility and, you know, very intensive setting, more of a subacute type setting, a place where we could get them, where we just have the right people with the right skill sets dealing with whatever issues that they have. So I think that's a hole in the system right there. And then we have the folks that do end up in the intensive setting that are in the locked wards. We don't have a great way to deal with them when we discharge them. Put them out. Where are they going to go? Again, you have to think about the most vulnerable in our society that are only accessing our healthcare and a lot of times just through emergency rooms and outpatient counseling. Sometimes they have trouble transportation or all the other issues that might be going on. They're not making their appointments, and so what ends up happening is there's a term in healthcare: you treat them and street them. So once we get them stabilized in these intensive settings, and now you no longer qualify to be in this very expensive, intense setting for mental health, now where do I put you? Well, one of the big problems is there's no place to go. Back to the community that you come from, and we're hopeful that you're going to hook up with a primary care physician or a counselor and that all will go well. Well, what we know is it doesn't, because we see the same people come through the system again and again and again. So that subacute, post-acute, where people can, those could be the same facilities, but just kind of a different little nuances in their treatment, to where we can transition them back to the communities and hopefully keep their mental health issues in check. So there's a better way than showing up in an emergency room where we're equipped and trained to deal with acute medical conditions that are not psychiatric. So we need to figure out a way to where we can drive down the need for intensive inpatient beds, and I think that's where the subacute setting comes from. And then a great way to transition somebody out of the intensive acute psychiatric beds in that system and get them into a transitional point before they go back to the streets, back to their communities, back to their families. And so those are the things that we're looking at.
So how are you going to pay for this?
Well, that becomes always the tough question. Now, clearly, one of the things that we see is that there's a direct connection between societal costs and mental health. And everybody knows that. I think that's not really a highly debatable topic. The system is not set up very well for if we make a major investment in healthcare, in mental health care, and then we lessen the burden in the criminal justice system to transfer that money from criminal justice system back over to the healthcare system. That just never seems to work very well. But we need to really have an adult conversation about those types of things, of how do we best use the precious resources that we have. But we know that clearly there is a societal cost. And, you know, in our area, we've just been blessed to not have one of these national news headlines where people do awful things with serious mental health issues. So a lot of times that's what it takes to call to action. And then it seems to just fall apart. So I'm excited that our associations, the Iowa Hospital Associations, even the legislators that I talked to, are really taking this serious of saying, okay, it's time that we do something different.
Thanks to Kevin Kincaid for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.